So yesterday we ended with the conversation between Chanura and Krishna. So Chanura was saying that don't claim that you are a small boy, inexperienced in wrestling. Actually we know that you have just killed Kuvalayapida, who has the strength of 1,000 elephants. So then Krishna said, yeah, whatever demons I had killed, they were killed because of their own hatred and sinful conduct towards us. I didn't do anything. So actually Krishna is speaking the truth. Krishna doesn't kill anyone. It's not there in his system. It's not there in his heart. Even when Duryodhan was lying in a pool of blood also, Krishna was feeling so sympathetic and painful to see his situation. Oh, I told him so many times, but this fellow never heard me. So he was feeling pity for him. Krishna was not happy to see Duryodhan lying in the pool of blood. So now Krishna says, only because of their own hatred and sinful conduct they died, and not because of my killing. So you don't have to attribute that glory or that power to me. So although Krishna was apparently joking from one perspective, from another perspective he is speaking the ultimate truth. So only because of misusing the minute independence, the living entity suffers or dies or transmigrates from one body to another body in material world. But it's not because of Krishna's whimsical tendency or Krishna's punishment. So he said that Indra's pride was cut down spontaneously, so the sacrificial festival could take place. We are just cowherd boys. This Dhenukasur, he was an old donkey. That's why he died. So don't attribute things like that. And also, this Kuvalayapida, the Kuvalayapida was trying to attack me, and in that attempt, the elephant just struck the ground, and his tusks went into the ground, and in an attempt to take it out from it, the tusks broke. I didn't break them. So like that, Krishna was denying any responsibility or any credit for himself. Chanura said, you are hiding your sinful activities by trying to show humility. The king is not unhappy with your activities, but he'll be more happy if you fight with us. Then Krishna said, that is most astonishing luck for us. However, you embarrass us with praise. So that's why we are showing humility. They are praising us so much. So then the fight began. Actually, these wrestlers, Chanura, Mushtika, Kuta, Shala, Toshala, five people. So in the ancient times, there was a great sage named Utathya. So this Utathya was living in Amaravati. He had five sons, very handsome. They were as beautiful as Cupid. So this Utathya's five sons, they were taught some mantras by their father to chant, but they abandoned their studies, and these people went to King Bali Maharaj's wrestling camp and started seeing the wrestling and then trying to learn the wrestling daily. They abandoned their sloka recitation session and they were going to akhada and then seeing some fight of some Gurukul boys where in Bali Maharaj's camp. So Utathya, he found that his sons were doing like this. You are supposed to be Brahmanas, you are neglecting Vedic studies and Brahmanical duties and then taking interest in wrestling. So he said, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, righteousness, these are all the qualities of Brahmanas. On the other hand, heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, leadership, fighting, all these are qualities of Kshatriyas. You are born as Brahmanas, you are being trained as Brahmanas, but you are showing some inclination towards Kshatriya activities, wrestling activities. And he gave the occupational duties of Vaishyas also. So, because you are showing interest in wrestling, I curse you to become wrestlers in Bharatavarsha. And you are showing interest in wrestling of demons. Bari Maharaj, although he is a pure devotee, but still, that's like demons practice was going on. So you are showing interest in demons wrestling. So I will curse you to become wrestlers as demons and associate with demoniac people like Kamsa. So because of that curse, they were born in Mathura as wrestlers, and now they are fighting with Krishna. Now let's see how the fight goes. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Charchita Sankalpo Bhagavan Madhusudanah Asasadata Chanuram Mushtikam Rohini Sutah.
Shukdev Goswami said, thus addressed, Lord Krishna made up his mind to accept the challenge. He paired off with Chanura and Lord Balaram with Mushtika.
So there were pairs. I read the translation, they are all fighting only.
Seizing each other's hands and locking legs with each other, the opponents struggled powerfully, eager for victory. They each struck fists against fists, knees against knees, head against head, and chest against chest. Each fighter contended with his opponent by dragging him about in circles, showing and crushing him, throwing him down and running before and behind him.
So this is all various ways of wrestling. Sometimes apparently the wrestler hurts his own body also. Parirambhamana vikshepa parirambha vapatnanaihi. So these are all, parirambhamana means wheeling the other about like this. Vikshepa, showing. Parirambha, crushing. Avapatanaihi, throwing down. Utsarpana, releasing and running in front. And so he'll just leave, although he's holding him captive, he will leave him and then run away. And then he has to run behind, and then you will immediately turn back and then capture him. These are all various ways. So all whatever you see in this Bollywood movies, no? All are coming from here only. Right? How to fight also is like this. Sometimes you may see the hero running away from the villain, and then why is he running away? And then he will come back and attack. These are all described in the scriptures. So how Bhima was killing Dushyasan, so that was also that very frightening way of killing that is described in Mahabharata. So Bhima was desiring, if I had opportunity, I will bring him back to life and I will kill him again. Dushyasan. Like that. So you have one question of how people fought with each other. So that you can see. Next.
Forcefully lifting and carrying each other, pushing each other away and holding each other down, the fighters hurt even their own bodies in their great eagerness for victory.
But Balaramji and Krishna, they did not harm themselves. So it appeared that way to Chanura and Mushtika and other of mundane vision. But actually Balaram and Krishna were not hurting their own bodies. Next.
My dear king, all the women present, considering the match an unfair fight between the strong and the weak, felt extreme anxiety due to compassion. They assembled in groups around the arena and spoke to one another as follows.
So from here, another episode, another big section of the glorification of Rajavasis and the appreciation of Krishna's beauty will begin. You see, fight is going on and suddenly these things are coming in middle. Sukadeva Goswami is describing this whole incident with full remembrance of the gopis and Vrindavan, and with full relishment of Krishna's sweetness. Although Mathura is going on, he is constantly bringing in Vraja there, through somewhere. And he is elaborating that more. Fight he just finished in 5 verses, but later he just goes deep. Bigger verses will come. So depending on one's attachment. So one thing we can observe here is, if one has an attachment to an object or a person, that makes someone see injustice done to that person if he's actually dealt with in an inappropriate way. For example, you love this person And if someone is chastising him or just slapping him or just scolding him, you take his side. Because you love him, your attachment towards him will make you take his side and perceive more injustice than it is actually done to him. Right? Aray, he's being dealt very inappropriately. Inappropriate, theek hai, lekin itna bhi nahi hai. But still you perceive it like that. So, many times we are caught up in certain dualities. But the ultimate attachment we need to develop is towards Krishna. So when someone develops so much attachment to Krishna, he or she will feel that many things that are inappropriate are being diverted towards Krishna. Right? He is being handled in an inappropriate way. Now the women of Mathura are blaming whom? The wrestlers and Kamsa, the organizers of this wrestling match. Gopis even blamed the pebbles and small stones of Vrindavan also. They are piercing the lotus feet of Krishna. What's happening? So like that. And they were blaming their own bodies. Right? Because of our hard bodies, Krishna's soft, tender feet is getting hurt. And they were blaming Brahmaji. He has given us this eyes. I blink. It blinks and then within one blink we are perceiving, you know, millions of yugas of separation from Krishna. He doesn't know how to create only. And they blamed Akrura. Poor guy, he is just taking Krishna and Balaram with their approval on the order of Kamsa. What did Akrura do? But all the gopis criticized him. He is Krura, not Akrura. So, because of attachment to Krishna, we just blame. So, problem is, we don't have that real attachment towards Krishna. And we have attachment to so many other things. And we blame people based on our material attachments. But the actual blame also has its utility. To blame people who are behaving in a inimical way towards Krishna. Right? When you have anger, when you want to blame, when you want to criticize, all this, that has to be directed towards those who are unfavorable towards Krishna. So, for that we need to cultivate positive attachment to Krishna as the women of Mathura or the gopis of Vrindavan. So, and one may blame also if one's desires are not fulfilled. Right? Unfulfillment of one's desires can make him condemn the opposite party if he is acting in a way that obstructs my desire. So Duryodhan was so attached to the kingdom, so he was blaming Vidura. Although Vidura was giving a good advice, still he is blaming Vidura. And he has checked him out. So although Chandra and Mushtika cannot actually harm Krishna, they were actually happy, but all the women of Mathura were thinking that, you see, his face is withered, he's getting troubled, he's perspiring, he's struggling so much to fight. So Krishna was not struggling to fight at all. Krishna was happily fighting. Krishna's not a single limb, small limb of Krishna is also hurt, even slightly, by the punches of Chandra and Mushtika. But women are experiencing that punch. And Krishna is being punched like this. Women are like feeling that punch they are actually experiencing because of attachment to Krishna. Although actually it is not so. So similarly, Vidura also was speaking for the welfare only. But Duryodhan perceived that he is attacking me. All this is attachment game. Where are you investing your attachment? Positively in Krishna if you attach, then anything happens to the service of Krishna, anything happens to the deity of Krishna, anything happens to the temple of Krishna, you are hurt. Hare, temple of Krishna is being, you know, glanced upon in a negative way by some enemies, so I need to protect it. Like that, you kind of take, because of spiritual attachment, one will condemn material objects. And because of material attachment, one will condemn other materialistic people. Okay. So, being unaware of the truth blinds a person either by lust or greed or by love and compassion. So, the Mathura ladies are blinded of the real truth of the strength of Krishna because of their love and compassion towards Krishna. The real truth is, he is not being hurt by Chandur and Mushtik. But that truth is secondary. Their love and compassion are primary. And Krishna relishes that. Even when he is killing Chandur and Mushtik, he wanted to pacify these people who are being troubled because of the fighting, this unfair match. So let's see what all these ladies say.
Mahanayam bata dharma.
Yesham raja sabhasadam.
Ye
bala balavad yuddham.
Ragno unvichati pashyataham.
The women said, "Alas, what a greatly irreligious act the members of this royal assembly are committing. As the king watches this fight between the strong and the weak, they also want to see it."
So now these ladies, they were blaming the king.
Mahanayam bata adharma.
What is happening here is a mahan adharma, very great irreligious activity.
Esham rajasabhasadam.
And all this will, this adharma will touch all these assembly members of this king. So, bala abalavad yuddham. There is a yuddha, there is a fight between bala, strong men, and abala, weak people. They are considering Krishna and Balaram weak, tender, soft, small, young boys. And they were considering this Chanura and Mushtika and other wrestlers as strong like mountains. So, this kind of fight is unfair and it is adharma. So Ragno Anvichati Pashyataha. So, and they are conducting this match and they are silently watching the show as if it is fair. So if you are perceiving something wrong and if you can rectify it and you are not rectifying it, you are behaving very irresponsibly and indifferently, you will be entitled for the reaction for this adharma. That's what this ladies are saying. So, Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura, and then so many people are there, they were watching silently when that Vastraharan was happening. They tried their best, but nothing would happen. They were bound by so-called dharma. And finally, Krishna had to come and then protect Draupadi. So, that incident is a wonderful example that when every single force in the entire cosmic manifestation fails to protect you, only Krishna comes to protect you. Yudhishthir's dharma could not protect. Bhima's gada could not protect. Arjuna's gandiva could not protect. Bhishma's valor could not protect. Vidura's dharma could not protect. Drona Acharya's brahminical strength could not protect Draupadi. But only Krishna protected. So that shows that Krishna is the ultimate protector. So coming back to this episode, there many of the members in the Kuru assembly, they silently allowed this injustice to happen, Draupadi Vastraharan. So here also, Kamsa and many other people who were sitting there in the assembly, they allowed this, they are allowing this unfair match to happen. So they will definitely be affected by this adharma. So all the ladies were pointing that out. Compassionate women are especially offended and enraged by such an unfair violence. So this compassion in this woman and considering Krishna and Balaram abala is actually a symptom of natural affection for Krishna. They were actually unaware of Krishna and Balaram's superior strength. They are not affected by Chanur and Mystic. So, but their feelings were very natural. They could not help it. So, common men, like these ladies, or they follow the leaders either out of respect or reverence for the leader, or for a reward, or out of fear. Three things. There could be many other things also. A follower may be fearful of the leader, are respectful of the leader, or he is expecting from some remuneration or some reward from the leader. So that could be generally the impetus of a regular janta, common man. So it is the responsibility of the leader to create right emotions in the followers. Kamsa could not create such right emotions in the citizens of Mathura. They were all sitting there in the galleries, in the stadium, because of fear of Kamsa, most of them. They were not actually approving from the heart. It was not a heartfelt approval of king's doings. So, and also the leader should allow the followers to honestly express their opinions also. But here no one objected Kamsa. No one was objecting Kamsa because if I object, he may kill me only. He may just behead me only. So why should I tell? I'll just silently keep quiet just to protect my own life. Like that. So, it's a very responsible role to lead few people. And one may sometimes have to even implement certain protocols or certain policies, even forcefully also, although the followers are not immediately understanding certain things because of lack of experience or whatever. But ultimately a leader has to be a well-wisher of the follower, and he needs to rule them or lead them in such a way that ultimately it is beneficial for the follower. Right? And as much as possible he should clarify things, and he should give the right explanation so that there is no misunderstanding. And the followers don't follow him out of fear or obligation, but they follow out of a natural humility and submissiveness. That submissiveness should not be expected, that submissiveness should be inspired. Definitely it depends on the side of the follower also and his maturity also. That perspective we have discussed several times from the follower side. And from the leader side also, he should inspire that submissiveness and surrender from the follower. So, these women were very... the citizens and especially the women of Mathura, they very boldly criticizing their leader, Kamsa. Very bold. This is adharma. This king who is sitting on the main gallery and then observing this whole match is doing simply adharma. And all these fellows who are supporting this king, they are also doing adharma. They are entitled for reaction. Very boldly, publicly they are announcing this. Women. And out of compassion towards Krishna and Balram. Right? So, now we need to see the external principle that Kamsa could not keep his citizens, his own followers happy, but the internal principle we should not miss. It's all being done out of their sincere affection and love towards Krishna. The finer feelings, finer emotions. So, from Bhagavatam we need to get both things. We need to learn to cultivate that finer emotions and feelings towards Krishna and towards Krishna's devotees. At the same time, we need to learn principles to conduct our practical and personal lives, right, and dealings with people in an official and managerial and formal way also. And in internal, that spiritual feelings also we need to cultivate. So, women are very boldly criticizing. Kvavraja sara sarvangau mallau shailendra sannibhau kvachati sukumarangau kishorau napta yavvanau kvavraja sara sarvangau. So, kvavraja sara sarvangau. So, where is the comparison between these two parties? These malla means these wrestlers, their body is like vajrasara sarvango. So, they are having vajrasara. Sara means the essence or the strength, the shakti of vajra. Vajra means thunderbolt. Sarvango, all their bodily limbs are so strong as thunderbolt. And Shailendra Sannibhau. Shailendra Sannibhau means they are appearing like the king of mountains. Shaila Indra. Shaila means a big mountain. Indra means the king of mountains. So they are having bodies like kings of mountains, and every limb of the body is so strong like thunderbolt. And in comparison to Krishna and Balram, where are they? Then Kvacha Ati Sukumarangau. And they are comparing Krishna Balram's limbs. Their limbs are Ati Sukumara, very delicate, very fragile. Kishorav, they are young boys. Na apta yavanav, they have not even attained youth stage also. They are in Kishora only. 0 to 5 is Balya. Then 5 to 10 is Pauganda. 10 to 15 is Kishora. 15 beyond 15 is Yavana. They have not even attained 15. Their age did not touch even 15. They are just 10-11 year old boys. They are just entered Kishora. They are so young and immature, their bodies. So that is the speciality of Krishna. Krishna does not have to exhibit such majestic form like Narasimhadev or Varahadev to prove that, yes, I have the physical strength to kill you. Krishna can just still remain as a 10-year-old delicate Kishora boy, na apta yavano, not even reached the Yavana stage also, and still he can kill Kamsa, Chanura, Mushtika, Kovalaya Pida, all this. Although these women, they just came to know, they just heard that Krishna killed Kovalaya Pida, but still they are unable to believe that Krishna has so much strength. He can fight with Chanura and Mushtika. Next. Women were pointing out their fingers. See, these boys are the wrestlers. They are openly pointing out their fingers. They were not like silently guhyamakati prachiti nagar. It's like very open, very bold. 9th verse. Dharma vyatikramo hyasya samajasya dhruvam bhavet yatra dharma samutheshtan nastheyam tatra karhichit.
Religious principles have certainly been violated in this assembly. One should not remain for even a moment in a place where irreligion is flourishing.
So now this is a very bold ridicule of what's happening there. Directly pointing out, dharma vyatikramo hyasya. Whatever is happening here is just a transgression of religious principles. Dharma vyatikrama. Adharma is happening, simple. Samajasya dhruvam bata bhavet. Yatra adharma samtushtet, wherever adharma is so prominently followed, nastheyam tatra karhichit. So one should not remain there. Our presence here is not proper. We should not even stay here. They are just completely abandoning Kamsa's rule only. We want to get out of this place. We can't just sit here and see this adharma happening. So, Nectar of Devotion says that if one hears the offense of a devotee or the Supreme Lord, one should immediately kill that person or at least defeat him or at least leave that place or give up one's life. These are various... Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu, no? Karanopidaya... Sati section also says like that. Anybody else should come somewhere. Okay, somewhere. My reference is not, I'm unable to recollect the reference, but these are the responses that one should give when the Lord is being chastised or the devotee is being chastised. Right. So these people are taking that because they are simple women, they are unable to fight with them or defeat them, but they can definitely leave that place. That's what they're doing. So just like someone who is in the mode of, say, goodness, he cannot tolerate anything unclean. Someone who is in mode of passion, he cannot tolerate anything in a slow movement. Like that he will say. Similarly, someone who is imbued with such compassion, he cannot tolerate any mishandling of his beloved ones. So, next, 10th verse. Na sabham pravishet prajnah sabhya doshan anusmaran abruvan vibruvan agno narah kilvisham asnute.
A wise person should not enter an assembly if he knows the participants there are committing acts of impropriety, and if having entered such an assembly he fails to speak the truth, speaks falsely, or pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin.
So, na sabham pravishet prajnah, that kind of adharmic sabha, one should a pragna, a learned man, they should not even enter. Sabhya dosha and anusmaran. So one should understand that this sabha is infected by sinful discrepancies. So if he fails to speak, abruvan vibruvan agno naraha kilbisham asnute. If one fails to speak the truth and falsely pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin. So one may have this play safe mentality. Although he is witnessing something wrong there, he would play safe. Indifference. So, I mean, these are all very bold. Diplomacy also has its role. Sometimes one may have to play safe. Sometimes one may have to be proactive. Sometimes one have to be inactive. Although one is proactive, he has to act as if he is inactive sometimes. Right? Although he is inactive, he has to... Although he is active apparently, he should be inactive inside. We should be detached inside. These are all various ways one has to conduct oneself while dealing with various kinds of people in this world. But the best policy is honesty and being transparent. Right. So these people are very transparently and honestly saying this. So Krishna Chakravarti Thakur writes that another group of women spoke, "We have committed offense by coming here. They quote these rules of scriptures in this verse. They are, if someone knows that there is injustice in an assembly and remains silent or speaks in opposition, he is at fault. And the intelligent man will not go to that assembly. Those who simply follow the opinions of the majority are forbidden from entering such an assembly." So one should not have that kind of attitude also. So the wise man who does not care for the opinion of others can enter that assembly. In the Mahabharata, Sabha Parva, Bhishma and others, because they were complained with the majority, they did not say anything. They were silent. Vidura was independent and could speak the principles of Dharma. In Kamsa's assembly, the intelligent persons were all dependent on the majority and were therefore silent. So Bhishma and Drona were obliged, and Vidura, although ultimately he could not do anything, but still at least he spoke out in that Sabha Parva. So here they are saying that by quoting some religious principles, all these people, because of fear of Kamsa, they are unable to speak anything, although some of them had the ability to detect what is current and what is not. This is an unfair match. Everyone can make out, but no one is speaking out. So, because of majority, they are following the majority. What is that called? Democracy, right? Many votes. That way they are not speaking. But just by not speaking, they may protect themselves or their bodies now, but they will not be protected from the reaction of this adharma in future. 11th verse. Valgataha shatrum abhitaham कृष्णस्य वदनाम्बुजम् वीक्षताम् श्रमवार्युप्तम् पद्मकोशन इवाम् बुद्धि.
Just see the lotus face of Krishna as he darts around his foe. That face, covered with drops of perspiration brought on by the strenuous fight, resembles a lotus covered with dew.
So valgatah shatrum abhitah. So now they were appreciating the beauty of Krishna and Balaram. They were leaping on the enemy on all sides. Krishnasya vadanambujam. As he was leaping during this fight, just look at Krishna's lotus face. Vadanambujam. Vikshatam shramavaryuptam padmakosha ivambubhi. So see the shramavari. Vari is the moisture or the perspiration because of shrama. Because of so much of labor in this fight, fatigue in this fight, there was perspiration on their beautiful lotus-like faces. So they are looking like Padma Kosham Iva Ambubihi. There are some droplets of water within the lotus. So sometimes lotus also has some droplets of water. Similarly, their face also is like lotus with droplets of water. The perspiration is compared like that. Even while they were expressing their concern and care with a lot of anxiety, the words are coming out very poetically. Very poetic comparisons. So wherever the Lord is, whether on the battlefield or on the grazing field, whether in Rasalila or in Mathura, He is beautiful and His beauty is appreciated very poetically. So in whichever attire He may present Himself, as a cowherd boy or as a driver, in the chariot driver, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, or as a king, or doing vanavas, so His beauty is always appreciated. Whether He is in Balya stage, or Kaumara stage, or Pauganda stage, or Yavana stage, or 125 years old, still His beauty is appreciated. That is the peculiar characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An old man, 120 year old man's beauty is never appreciated generally. But Krishna's beauty is always appreciated. 12th verse. Kim na pasyata ramasya mukham atmamra lochanam mushtikam pratisa samarsham hasasamrambha shobhitam. Kim na pasyata ramasya. Now, why don't you see the face of Rama, Balaram? Mukham atamra lochanam. His beautiful face is like atamra, copper. Atamra lochanam means his eyes have become like copper, reddish, while he was fighting with mushtika. Mushtikam prati sa amarsham. With anger he was fighting. So, hasa samrambha shobhitam. And his laughter and his absorption in fighting, you can see, it is enhanced. The beauty of his face is enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in fight. Sometimes he is laughing also. They Kshatriyas, they fight very angrily, and sometimes when they hit and they kind of laugh also at the opponent. So, while all these things are happening, Balaramji is appearing very beautifully. 13th verse. Punyabhatavrajabhuvo yadayam rilinga gudha purana purusho vanachitra malyah gah palayan sahabalah kvanayam schapenum vikridayanchati giritra ramarchitangrihi punyabhatavrajabhuvo yadayam rilinga gudha purana purusho vanachitra malyah gah palayan sahabalah kvanayam schavenum vikridayanchati giritra ramarchitangrihi.
How pious are the tracts of land in Vraja? For there, the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about, enacting his many pastimes. Adorned with wonderfully variegated forest garlands, he, whose feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and goddesses Rama, vibrates his flute as he tends the cow in the company of Balaram.
Very beautiful series of verses will start from this 13, 14, 15, 16. Yeah, these four verses are very nice, especially 14 and 15. Punya bata vrajabhuvo yadayam drilinga. So, this Vrindavan Vasis are all very pious. And this piety is not material piety. So, it's a conventional way of saying it. It's a like just a general custom of saying things which are very great. Oh, what kind of punya he has done. So, punya bata vraja bhavaha, vraja bhuvaha. The various lands of Vraja are very pious, very glorious. Why? Ayam, yad ayam, drilinga. Drilinga means in the form of a human being. Gudha purana purusha. this Purana Purusha, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, is wandering there, Gudaha. Gudaha is in a very confidential way, in the form of a human being. Rilinga Gudaha Purana Purusha, Vanachitra Malyaha, and he is wandering in the forests of Vrindavan, which is composed of so many varieties of flowers, and he is wearing garland of various flowers. Right? Vaijayantim Chamalam. Next. Gaha Palayan Saha Balaha Kwanayancha Venum. He, what is he doing in while wandering in the forests of Vrindavan? Gaha Palayan. He is heading the cows. Saha Balaha, along with his elder brother Balaram. Kwanayamscha Venum. He, while playing the flute, Venum. Vikridayanchati Giritra Ramarchitangrihi. He is enjoying like that in Vrindavan, although his angri, lotus feet, are Rama Archita, are worshipped by even goddess of fortune. Vikridayanchati Giritra Ramarchitangrihi. So he is just wandering in the forests. Giritra is also Lord Shiva. So Shiva worships his lotus feet and Rama worships his lotus feet, but still those lotus feet are walking barefoot in the forest of Vrindavan, along with the cows and along with Balaram, along with the gopas, while the Lord is wearing forest flower garlands and playing the flute. So in this verse, the devoted ladies in the audience point out the difference between Mathura and Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna knows only happiness of playing with the boys and calves and cows. But here, in Mathura, we are seeing Krishna being harassed by the punches and the blows of these wrestlers, mountain-like wrestlers, thunderbolt-like wrestlers. So we are so unfortunate to see Krishna fighting with professional wrestlers, and they are so fortunate seeing Krishna playing flute. In Mathura, Krishna is not playing flute. We are unable to see that, but they are more fortunate. And that land is more fortunate than this land, which is actually a fact. So they are expressing their love in a very critical mood. And further, they appreciate the beauty of Krishna and the glory of the gopis who could appreciate that beauty and see that beauty for a long time. Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya sarama samordhamananya siddham. Drigbhi pibantyanu savabhi navam durapam. Ekanta dhama yashashriya aishwarasya. Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya sarama samordhamananya siddham. Drigbhi pibantyanu savabhi navam durapam. Ekanta dhama yashashriya aishwarasya. So this is one section where the gopis are glorified by Mathuravasis, and after 2-3 chapters, you will have Uddhava's glorification of gopis. So these are like two very important and prominent sections where the gopis' devotion towards Krishna and gopis' fortune is glorified. Gopyah tapah kimacharan. What kind of tapa austerity that the gopis have done? Yad amushya rupam. To be able to see this beautiful form of Krishna. What is the glory of that form? Lavanya saram. The essence of all loveliness is there in Krishna. He is the embodiment of the essence of all loveliness. You may see so many lovely objects, very beautiful objects in various people and objects and the nature in this world. But you put all that lavanya, all that loveliness at one place. All the loveliness that is available in this material world and in the spiritual world. Which in India, in America, in this Bhuloka, in the Swargaloka, in the Patal Loka, Brahma Loka, whatever loveliness is, just bring out all that. Just gather everything and put at one place and make a person out of it. That is Krishna. This is Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. He is the collection of all beauties in the material and spiritual worlds. Lavanya Saram. the essence. Asamordham, there is no one equal to Krishna, there is no one superior to Krishna. Ananya Siddham, where did Krishna acquire such a great strength, great beauty? Ananya Siddham, he did not acquire it from anywhere else, no other source. It's innate in him, it's so natural for him. It is a part of his Swarupa. It's this beauty, the display of Krishna's beauty is nothing beyond him. Asamordham Ananya Siddham, Drigbhihi Pibanti. If you drink this beauty through your eyes, Anusava Abhinavam, it always appears newer and newer. And Durapam, very rarely attainable. Where can you get this beauty? You can go to Vrindavan and then see Krishna beautiful. No, Durapam, to be able to go to Vrindavan, although you are staying right in Mathura, is not very easy. Akrura took so many years to go to Vrindavan, to get a chance. Many times we may stay so close to Vrindavan, but we may not enter Vrindavan. Sometimes one may stay in the temple, but he may not enter the temple. Or he may write in the temple, he may not be able to see the darshan of the Lord. Somebody may be the next neighbor of the temple, but he may not have even taken darshan. Someone who is coming from, say, Grant Road temple is there. Someone may come from Virar or CST, but someone who is staying right next to Radha Gopinath Mandir may not even come to take darshan. Right? Or they may have different conceptions. Durapam, very rarely attainable. So our fortune of daily studying Bhagavatam or seeing Krishna's form, darshan, or to be able to render various services, so all this should not be taken for granted. It is durapam. It's extremely rare. It's not to be taken cheaply or taken for granted at any time. The more we value it, the more it will stay with us. That fortune will stay with us. For example, Satrajit is there. He's a Dhamvasi, Dwarakavasi. He was staying in Dwaraka and he was worshipping a demigod, Surya. You know? And he was attached to a material object, Shamantakamani. Staying in the Dham of the Lord, staying in a place where Krishna is personally residing, one is worshipping a demigod and developing attachment towards a material object, so much to the extent that he denied Krishna. Krishna said, "Hey, this is giving so much gold. Why can't you give it in the treasury of the king?" He said, "No, no, no. It's my object. You are eyeing on him. You are stealing butter from since childhood, and then now you are having the similar mentality. You want to take away my jewel? What is this? It's mine." Like that, he denied Krishna's order, Krishna's advice, and after that was stolen by some lion, it went to Jambavan. Satrajit came and blamed Krishna. "You only have stolen, you only killed my brother," without knowing the truth. So he's a Dhamvasi. So being in a place where Krishna is residing is not sufficient. Krishna should reside within the heart of a devotee, wherever he is. That is the real Dham. So Dharapam is very rarely attainable form. It's not cheap. Then Ekanta Dhama Yashashah Shriya Aishwarasya. That Krishna's beautiful form is Ekanta Dhama, one and only abode of Yasha. Yasha is what? Fame. Shriya means all beauty. Aishwarasya, all opulences headed by these two. So how many qualities we have seen? Six. One is Lavanya Saram, second Asamordham, third Ananya Siddham, fourth Anusava Abhinavam, fifth Durapam, sixth Ekanta Dhamma. Six qualities of Krishna's beauty and Krishna's form are mentioned here. So who can say that Krishna is formless? Krishna is impersonal. That's simple sheer ignorance and stupidity to say that Krishna has no form. Krishna's form is so vividly described here. And the emotions upon seeing that form are very nicely elaborated by Sukadeva Goswami. Yesterday you have seen Pibanta eva chakshur bhyam lehanta eva jeha jihvaya jighranta eva nasa bhyam silishyanta eha bahubhi. If one does not have form, how can someone see him? How can someone touch him? How can someone swell him? How can someone embrace him? This is not very you can't believe in the words of people who may claim that God is impersonal or he does not have a form or name. So our Vaishnava scriptures are filled with the descriptions of the Lord. So once I took my mother to one knee specialist. He's a Muslim. So he saw me in dhoti kurta a few years back. And he said, "Are you Pandit?" I said, no, I'm not a Pandit. I'm just following this process. Then he said, he was opening these books, Jakir Naik books, where just one phrase, one line, one word is quoted to prove that God is impersonal. Why you people worship so many gods? Then I said, there is a hierarchy of gods. Okay. Why you people worship a form of God? He is God, right? Everything is He only. Why He needs this Shankha Chakra and all this, so many decorations? Is all physical, right? Physical. Problem kya aapka? No, He doesn't need it. No, if you offer it, what is the problem? You are expressing your devotion. So like that, the discussion went for 1 hour. And all His patients were waiting. Ek patient ke liye, He is putting so much effort. Patient ka ho gaya abhi. Mother's treatment is only 2 minutes. Discussion with me is like 1 hour. So then finally he realized that so many patients are waiting, and then he closed the discussion. But he was not convinced, because Jakir Naik is very powerful, right? So like that, like our own people, practitioners of the scriptures, the Hindu scriptures or Vaishnava scriptures, they don't have conviction. They say, you worship Ayappa, you worship Shani Devata, you worship Hanumanji, you worship Durga, you worship Kali. And Durga has so many forms. Like any tree they put some haldi and kumkum and then say this is Durga. In South India especially. They have so many names, this Talli, that Talli. Talli is mother. Pochamma, so like that they say. Some are bona fide, some are not very much bona fide. Some are concoctions also. So like that, people have such blind faith, and when these people challenge, they don't have answers. So Krishna is not impersonal. He has form, as Bhagavatam is describing. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur connects all these things. I think I already mentioned all of that. Let me see. Conclusion is, Narayana's form may look majestic and Krishna's form may look very simple and closer to a human being, but Krishna is the source of Narayana. The opulence of Vrindavan is that simplicity, not majesty. Someone who is so much carried away by the opulent attire of the Lord, so he may worship Narayana, there is nothing wrong. After all, he is worshipping the Supreme Lord only. But you don't express, he has four hands, Krishna has only two hands. How can you believe that he is God? That's what the whole conversation between Venkatabhatta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Srirangam, that is, the theme is this only. Venkatabhatta says, both are same, what is the problem if Lakshmi wants to enjoy with Krishna? Mahaprabhu says, yes, there's no problem. There is no problem if Lakshmi wants to enjoy with Krishna. That doesn't compromise her chastity. She still remains Pativrata Shiromani only. But why she could not enter Ras Leela? That is his question. Venkatabhatta has no answer. Venkatabhatta said, I surrender. I have no answer. I can't understand all these points. You only explain. Then he says, Lakshmi, Lord Chaitanya said, Lakshmi was attached to her majesty. She wants to enter Ras Leela to enjoy with Krishna in that same form. Like she, but unless one takes shelter of the gopis and follows in their footsteps and attains the body of the gopis, they cannot enter Rasa Leela. Because the body of the gopis means you have to mix cow dung and you have to put lep. You have to put lep of cow dung on your the walls, put rangoli, milk, clean cow urine, just clean the corridors in Vrindavan. They're all simple activities. Put some diya there. In Mathura, it's not like that. Mathura, Dwarka, it's not like that. They order, servant maid, take it. But they don't have such, they don't do such simple activities. Unless you have the simplicity, unless you have that innocence, unless you are so down to earth that you are subservient of even the cows also, you cannot attain Krishna. He cannot enter Rasalila. Lakshmi was not willing to do all this. So Shrutis were willing to do all this. The Vedas personified. They followed in the footsteps of gopis. They attained the bodies of gopis. Once you attain the bodies of the gopis, you have to act as the gopi is acting. Then you can enter Rasalila. So what are the activities of gopis that are mentioned in the 15th verse? Somehow the discussion came. That's like a smooth transition to the next verse also. Venkatapatta's discussion. So Mahaprabhu said that nothing fault in Lakshmi, but the majesty part is there. See the purity of Vrindavan. Even in Vaikuntha, also there is an attraction to majesty and opulence. So then you cannot enter Goloka. So Goloka is the topmost and the purest. Of course, entire spiritual world is pure, so we are no one to comment on that. But the topmost abode in the spiritual world is Vrindavan, where the prevailing atmosphere is surcharged with simplicity and innocence. There is no majesty there. There is no reverence. There is no official protocols and policies and to attend, to just go and talk to someone, you have to go through so many things. And sometimes they do all that. Radharani, they keep it as Vrindavaneshwari, and then they employ amongst themselves, I am the minister, I am the doorkeeper, all that is there. But they do that as a play, as an imitation. They don't have any designations. So a designation-free, simple and innocent place is Vrindavan. Right? So let's see the activities of the gopis.
Yadohane vahanane mathano palepa prenkankhanarbharudite kshanamarjanadau gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitta yanaha yadohane vahanane mathano palepa prenkankhanarbharudito kshanamarjanadau gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitta yanaha.
So yadohane, all these gopis would constantly do these simple household activities. Dohane means milking the cows. Vahanane, avahanane means threshing the grains. You see these village ladies, they have these grains in their, in Telugu we call it chata. So they do like this, and then they do like this, and then remove the whatever pebbles from it. What is that called? I don't know the Marathi terminology. They do such simple activities. Yeah, dohane, vahanane, mathana. Mathana is churning milk, buttermilk, like this. Upalepa. Upalepa is smearing their walls with cow dung lep and all that. Upalepa. Prenka inkhana. They are swinging on swings. They don't go in cars. They don't go in cars and then other sophisticated vehicles. Or they don't have other sophisticated ways of enjoying, right, recreation. They just put some rope on the tree and then they swing like this. So, sprenkankhana. Then arbharudita. Arbharudita means they were taking care of crying babies. Then ukshana means sprinkling cow dung water in their courtyards. Ukshana. Marjanado, they were cleaning the grounds outside, the roads. So, prinkankhanarbharudite kshanamarjanadav. Rudito kshanamarjanadav. Someone who is born and brought up in this village, set up village atmosphere, who has some touch with the cows and or buffaloes or putting rangoli in front of their houses and then putting some diya during Diwali time. And these are all such great, rare traditions. Someone who has that background is very fortunate, my opinion, my personal opinion. Then only we will be able to appreciate what the gopis are doing. So, I mean, that's a favorable thing. Not that someone who is born and brought up in palaces and then city background, they may also become great devotees by the mercy of other devotees. But generally, with that background, you can appreciate these simple activities. Other people, they may not be able to relate to their kya chal rahe? Upalepa. Upalepa. To touch cow dung and to touch mitti is like such a disgusting experience for some people. Even brahmacharis also. Sab chhod diya. But still, haath mein ek iPhone chahiye. Right? They need some nice place to sit and they can't just come down and ye kaam mere kisko lagana yaar. Unko mat bulao. Bartan dhone ka, it's very reluctant. They're very reluctant because somehow they had previous background of staying in such high class places. So, upalepa. Prinkankhanarbha ruditokshana marjanado. You should get excited. So, some people get excited. You take Anupam Gaurambhu, you can do this upalepa for a long time. That is his excitement. Mahabharata playing with flowers and all, that is his excitement. So, I would sometimes feel that this laptop, although I constantly be with these laptops and iPads, so it's like they are not there in spiritual world. They are not there in Goloka. But you may engage them in Krishna service so that you can go to Goloka. But they are not there. But cow dung is there in Goloka. Swings are there in Goloka. Flowers are there in Goloka. So just develop attraction for this and then just use them as per need. So that's what we need to do. So, while doing all these simple household activities, Gayanti Chaina Manurakta Dhyo Shrukanthyo, they are constantly singing the glories of Krishna. Gayanti Chainam Anurakta Dhyya. Their Dhyya, their intelligence, our minds, our hearts are filled with Rati towards Krishna, filled with attraction towards Krishna, love and affection for Krishna. Anurakta Dhyo Shrukanthyo, and their Kantha is faltering. They are glorifying Krishna with a faltering voice. Dhanya Vrajastriya Urukrama Chittayanaha. Dhanya means most fortunate. Who else can be more fortunate than all these Vrajastris? Urukrama Chittayanaha. Their chitta, their consciousness is constantly hovering around Lord Urukrama, Krishna. Vaikuntha description is also there. What kind of Vaikuntha description? Vaimanika Salalanas Charitani Shashvat Gayanti Yatra Shamalah Kshapanani Bhurtuhu. Their activities are not simple like this. They are traveling in airplanes. Vaikunthavasis travel in airplanes, but still they are Krishna conscious. But here, they are swinging on swings. Of course, Lakshmi's activities are also discussed in relation to this menial service. That is, Sri Rupini Kvanayati Charanaravindam Leelambujena Harisadmani Mukta Doshaha Sammarjativa Marjanadav Sammarjativa Sphatika Kudya Upeta Hemni. So she was sweeping the floors of Vaikuntha, although they are already clean. But the speciality of Vrindavan is the floors become dusty sometimes. Cow dust is there, they need to clean. There is some substantial cleaning going on. So Vaikuntha, the cleaning is going on maybe superficially. Although they are already clean, they still see is cleaning. But this sometimes Vrindavan, the Goshala and all this, they become little unclean because of cow dung and all, they again clean all that. They are actually doing the real stuff. So, with such rare simplicity. And yes, Vaikuntha is filled with glorification of Krishna and affection for Krishna. But the flavor of Vrindavan is much superior to Vaikuntha flavor. Much simpler than Vaikuntha flavor. So, Vaikunthavasis, glorification of Krishna or devotion to Krishna is described in relation to the majestic ambience of Vaikuntha. What is that verse? Yat sankulam haripadanati matra drishtair vaidurya marakata hemamayair vimanair. Vaidurya marakata hemamayair vimanair. They are traveling in airplanes which are bedecked with vaidurya, marakata, all this. Not like aluminum like coverings. We also travel in airplanes. They are all iron, aluminum, metal. They are not bedecked with vaidurya, marakata. Hema means golden airplanes. Esham brahat kaditata smita shobhimukhya krishnatmanam na raja adadhurusmayadir. Because they were so absorbed in Krishna, passionate desires for enjoyment will not enter their minds. So here is the simplicity of Vrindavan. Dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayanaha. So they always taste the sweetness of Krishna with their eyes, without interruption, and with their tongues also. When their eyes are unable to see Krishna, they are tasting Krishna with tongue. By Gayanti Chaina Manurakta Dhyo Shrukanthyo. Third verse says that. So the first, third line. 14th verse says, their vision of Krishna, they are able to see Krishna. 14th verse. They could see Krishna for more than 10 years. One decade they were constantly seeing Krishna. And whenever Krishna is out of their sight, apparently, externally, when he goes to the forest, Krishna enters their minds and manifests through their tongues. Gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo. So, 14th verse describes the Krishna consciousness of the gopis when Krishna is in front of them. 15th verse describes the Krishna consciousness of the gopis when Krishna is in the forests, in Krishna's absence. That is Krishna's presence. So, this is the glory of the gopis of Vrindavan, of which Srimati Radharani is the topmost. 16th verse. Pratar vrajat vrajata avishatas chasayam. Gobhisavam kvanayato syanishamya venum. Nirgamya turnamabalaha patibhuri punyaha. Pashyanti sasmita mukham sadayava lokam. Pratar vrajat vrajata avishatas chasayam. Gobhisamam kvanayatosya nishamya venum. Nirgamya turnam abalaha patibhuri punyaha. Pashyanti sasmita mukham sadayava lokam. Read the translation.
When the gopis hear Krishna playing his flute as he leaves Vraja in the morning with his cows or returns with them at sunset, the young girls quickly come out of their houses to see him. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as he walks on the road, his smiling face mercifully glancing upon them.
So how all the gopis are drinking the beauty of Krishna with their eyes is described in this verse. In another beautiful verse, which I have not yet memorized. And maybe by reciting more times, we can just get into this. So I have never tried to memorize any verse so far in all these years. I just appreciate the meaning of the verse and consciously or unconsciously I try to recite it repeatedly and it just went into the memory. I never tried to sit and memorize a single verse so far. Pratar vrajat vrajata avishatascha sayam. So early in the morning, Krishna goes with the cows or the calves to the forest. Pratar vrajat vrajataha, he was going, and while he was going and at the evening time he would return back with the cows. Either when he is going with the cows or coming back with the cows from the forest. Gobhihi samam, along with the cows. Kvanayatosya nishamya venum, he would also play his beautiful flute. So hearing that beautiful flute and while seeing Krishna going and coming from the forest into the forest. So nirgamya turnam abalaha pathi bhuri punyaha. All the gopis would immediately come out of their houses. You saw that beautiful painting. There are 2-3 paintings. Krishna, Balram and all the cows and gopas were going like this. and all the small gopis, they came out and they were watching Krishna like this. And there's another painting, like in the front you see Krishna and Balram and the gopas, and in the background they are there. All the gopis are there in the background, like two paintings I vividly remember. So that is Nirgamya Toranam Abalaha Pathi Bhuri Punyaha. They would come out of the houses and then see Krishna and Balram. Pashyanti Sasmitam Mukham, Sasmitam Mukham Sadayava Lokam. They will see Krishna's beautiful face showering such beautiful smiles. Smita Mukham Sadaya Avalokam. His glances are filled with compassion and his smiles are filled with grace. Many times smiles and glances are described together. Even in the Vishnu's description also. Hasam Hare Ravanata Akhila Lokativra Sokashru Sagara Visoshana Matyudaram. So he smiles and he also glances with this compassion. So this is the description there. So at that point when Krishna was going out to the village Vrindavan to head the cows, there is only separation in the hearts of the gopis. They were watching like this as Krishna is going. Oh, he went like this. They look towards the direction only. Till the last speck of dust settles down, they were walking, they were seeing Krishna. And then they will go to their house and then do their household duties and think about Krishna. Yadohane vahanane. And then when Krishna is coming out, his sound and then Venu sound is coming in, then they would again come out of their house and then see Krishna like this. Oh, he's going to Nandamara's house. Like that. Same thing with motherly gopis also. Yashodamai would not allow Krishna to go only to the forests. She would always say, oh, your peacock feather is not properly tucked in. So she would do like this. And then Krishna moves ahead a little bit. And again, Yashodamai runs on the road. And then she would say, no, your dhoti is not properly tied properly. Your waist belt is not proper, let me do something. Your garland is not proper. Like that, on various pleas, she was following Krishna into the forest only, calling him 10 times back. At one point, Krishna had to say, Mother, you go, and then I need to go, it's getting late. You also do your things. Then finally, she would go back and then do things. Every day this happens, not only one day. So these are the glories of the gopis as described by the Mathura ladies. 17th verse. Evam prabhasha manasu strishu yogeshvaro harihi shatrumhantum manaschakre bhagavan bharatarshabha.
Shukdev Goswami continued, as a woman spoke thus, O hero of the Bharatas, Lord Krishna, the master of all mystic power, made up his mind to kill his opponent.
What's the time? 10:30? 10:20. So, all the women were speaking like this. They were expressing their anxiety for Krishna's protection. And also they were seeing Krishna. They were seeing some injustice in the assembly. And they remembered the glories of gopis of Vrindavan. So, then noticing the anxiety of all these women, Krishna actually could hear it. That's why he is described as master of mystic power. Yogeshwaro harihi. Why Krishna is described as Yogeshwara? Because he has all mystic powers, he can understand. Although they are sitting so distant place in a gallery, Krishna could understand the emotions of all these Mathura women. So, to relieve them of suffering, Krishna made up his mind to kill Chanura and Mushti. Sabhayaha strigiraha shrutva putrasneha suchar turau pitaravan matapyetam putrayor abudhau balam.
Out of affection for the two lords, the parents, Devaki and Vasudev, became overwhelmed with sorrow when they heard the women's fearful statements. They grieved, not knowing their son's strength.
So even Devaki and Vasudev also were overwhelmed with parental affection. So that covered their awareness of the strength of Krishna and Balram, incomparable strength. So, Pitarau can also mean Nanda and Vasudev, fathers. Okay. Now, they were even considering, Devaki and Vasudev were even considering that why didn't we tell Akrura not to bring Krishna and Balram? Why did we tell them? So, this anxiety is there till the actual result comes, till the event or whatever project is concluded, there is constant anxiety in the participants. There is constant thing is happening. This happens even in Vasudev and Devaki.
Taistairni yuddha vidibhir vividhair achyutetarau yudhate yathan yonyam tathaiva bala mushtikau.
Lord Balram and Mushtika, expertly displaying numerous wrestling techniques, battle each other in the same way that Lord Krishna and his opponent did.
Next, see, these all fight only, read.
The harsh blows from the Supreme Lord's limbs fell like crushing lightning bolts upon Chanura, breaking every part of his body and causing him more and more pain and fatigue. Furious, Chanura attacked Lord Vasudev with the speed of a hawk and struck his chest with both fists. No more shaken by the demon's mighty blows than an elephant struck with a flower garland, Lord Krishna grabbed Chanura by his arms, swung him around several times and hurled him onto the ground with great force. His clothes, hair and garland scattering, the wrestler fell down dead like a huge festival column collapsing.
Next.
Similarly,
Mushtika and Balramji's fight are mentioned here.
Similarly, Mushtika struck Lord Balabhadra with his fist and was slain. Receiving a violent blow from the mighty Lord's palm, the demon trembled all over in great pain, vomited blood, and then fell lifeless onto the ground, like a tree blown down by the wind. Confronted next by the wrestler Kuta, Lord Balaram, the best of the fighters, playfully and nonchalantly killed him with his left fist, O king. Then Krishna kicked in Shala's head and tore Toshala in half, and both wrestlers fell down dead. Chanura, Mushtika, Kuta, Shala and Toshala having been killed, the remaining wrestlers all fled for their lives. Krishna and Balram then called their young cowherd boyfriends to join them, and in their company the lords danced about and sported, their ankle bells resounding as musical instruments played.
So I also heard somewhere that Sri Dama, he said, are you the same Krishna who used to fight with me and then get defeated? How could you defeat all these fellows? Fight with me. Then they fought against each other. And Sri Dama defeated Krishna. I understand. You are the same Krishna. So like that. So everyone except Kamsa rejoiced at the wonderful feat of Krishna and Balram. And the exalted Brahmanas and great saints claimed, excellent, excellent, sadhu, sadhu, sadhuti. And the worst of the Brahmanas, namely Kamsa's priests, were seriously grieving. Then Kamsa started speaking. He goes into some craziness. So after this chapter, we will start the next chapter, only for today. In the next class, we will complete 45. Okay, na? Uddhava visits Vrindavan. Today's special. Next is Sandipal Muni thing, that also we will see. Hare Krishna. So 44 chapter, 33, right? 31. Kamsa started speaking suddenly. Hateshu mallavaryeshu vidruteshu cha bhojarat nyavarayat svaturyani vakyam chedamuvachaha.
The Bhoja king, seeing that his best wrestlers had all been killed or had fled, stopped the musical performance originally meant for his pleasure and spoke the following words.
So he has gone really crazy, Kamsa. this time because all his plans were smashed. Now he's just few minutes close to death. He has become really crazy. Then you see what he said. Nisarayata durvrittau vasudevatmajau purat dhanam harata gopanam nandam badhnita durmatim.
Kamsa said, drive the two wicked sons of Vasudev out of the city, confiscate the house, confiscate the cowherd's property and arrest that fool Nanda.
Vasudeva to durmedha hanyatam asvasattamaham ugrasenah pita chapi sanugah parapakshagah. So kill that Vasudev, Vasudevasya Durmedha, and kill my father also. Hanyatam Ugrasenam Pitachapi. You kill Vasudeva, kill Ugrasena and all their followers, and whoever has sided all our enemies. So like that he became very crazy. So when a conditioned soul loses all discrimination, he becomes so angry. Or when he becomes so angry, he loses all discrimination. So he's sitting on the dais and the entire assembly was watching him. And then suddenly he says, that kill this fellow, kill this fellow. Like his wicked nature is very violently and boldly and openly being displayed now. So, and in anger one may forget all the philosophy and all the moral principles that he has learned also. So all the discrimination one who loses. Evam vikathamane vai kamse prakupito vayaham langhim notpatya tarasa mancham uttungama ruhat.
As Kamsa thus raved so audaciously, the infallible Lord Krishna, intensely angry, quickly and easily jumped up onto the high royal dais.
So Krishna became angry now. Why Krishna became angry suddenly? Because he heard Kamsa's display of enmity towards his devotees. Kamsa very enviously addressed Krishna's devotees and Krishna became angry. So unlike other living entities, Krishna does not lose this discrimination in anger. He just jumped up to the dais of Kamsa. So anger has its utility by all parties. So Krishna became angry, but he did not lose any sense of discrimination. He only caught the Kamsa or Rishlers who were actually sinful. But Kamsa, losing his discrimination, he wants to kill even Ugrasena, his father also, Vasudeva also, everybody. So, 35th verse. Seeing Krishna approaching like death personified, the quick-witted Kamsa instantly rose from his seat and took up his sword and shield. Sword in hand, Kamsa moved quickly from side to side like a hawk in the sky. But Krishna, whose fearsome strength is irresistible, powerfully seized the demon, just as the son of Tarksha might capture a snake. So, Garuda sometimes will play with some snakes. So, it was like that. So although Krishna was looking so small, he was compared to Garuda and Kamsa is compared to snake. So grabbing Kamsa by the hair and knocking off his crown, the lotus naval lord threw him off the elevated dais onto the wrestling mat. So from there he just threw, and because of that only he died, Kamsa. Just the force with which Krishna threw Kamsa onto the wrestling arena, Kamsa died. So then the independent Lord, the support of entire universe, threw himself upon the king. Then Krishna also went upon him. As a lion drags a dead elephant, the Lord then dragged Kamsa's dead body. So by the force Kamsa died, but to make sure that the audience understand that Kamsa died, Krishna dragged his dead body. By the time Krishna jumped and then was trying to drag his body, he was already dead. In a simple way, he died. Not a big fight or war with so many astras. So, O king, all the people in the arena tumultuously cried out, oh, oh, like that. Next, Kamsa had always been disturbed by the thought that the Supreme Lord was to kill him. Therefore, when drinking, eating, moving about, sleeping, or simply breathing, he was always Krishna conscious. He was always seeing Krishna with his disc weapon in his hand. Thus, Kamsa achieved Sarupya Mukti. Next, Kamsa's eight younger brothers, led by Kanka and Nyagrodhaka, then attacked the lords in a rage, seeking to avenge their brother's death. As they ran swiftly towards the two lords, ready to strike, the son of Rohini slew them with his club, just as a lion easily kills other animals. Kettle drums resounded in the sky as Brahma, Shiva and other demigods, the lord's expansions, rained down flowers upon him with pleasure. They chanted his praises and their wives danced. My dear king, the wives of Kamsa and his brothers, aggrieved by the death of their well-wishing husbands, came forward with tearful eyes, beating their heads, embracing their husbands who lay on the hero's final bed. The sorrowful woman loudly lamented while shedding constant tears. So in the olden days, even the wife of a demoniac person also is very chaste. And she laments very piteously at the departure of her husband. When Ravana died, Mandodari came and started crying. And other wives also came and cried. Then Mandodari was saying that you caused trouble to another chaste lady, Sita Devi. So I know the power of chastity. So when a chaste lady sheds tears in your house, what will happen to you? That's what has happened to you. So like that, Mandodari also laments for the death of Ravana. So the woman cried out, alas, O master, O dear one, O knower of religious principles, O kind and compassionate protector of the shelterless. By your being slain, we have also been slain, together with your household and offspring. O great hero among men, bereft of you, its master, this city has lost its beauty, just as we have, and all the festivity and good fortune within it have come to an end. O dear one, you have been brought to this state because of the terrible violence you committed against innocent creatures. Not that they don't understand what is right and what is wrong, but because of their obedience to their husbands, they are obliged to just keep quiet as the husbands are doing all these nefarious activities. Sometimes they advise also, but the husband does not hear. Mandodari says, but Ravana does not hear. But still, the chastity and the submissiveness and surrender and obedience towards husband is never compromised. So apparently, the Vedic culture is like that. Sometimes the father may be very super strict, but still, Prahlad Maharaj did not lose respect for the father. He respected the father as a father, but he never followed his ideals like that. So similarly, the wives of Kamsa never lost their respect towards Kamsa, but they never gave up their obedience, although they never approved what he has done. Right? So it's all because of your committing violence against innocent creatures. How can one who harm others attain happiness? So having expressed their sentimental grief, the ladies now speak practical wisdom. They are beginning to see things realistically because their minds were purified by the agony of the recent events and by the association of Lord Krishna. Sarvesham iha bhutanam yeshahihi prabhavapyayaham Goptacha tad avadhayayi nakvachit sukhamedhate. Krishna causes the appearance and disappearance of all beings in this world, and he is the maintainer as well. One who disrespects him can never prosper happily. So So they understood the glory of Krishna. So we know that Kamsa and Shishupal, all these people were absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord constantly with negative feelings. On the other hand, Vena also blasphemed Krishna, blasphemed the Supreme Lord. He said, I am the Supreme Lord. All you Brahmanas are supposed to worship me. All you give all your oblations to me. Why are you worshipping someone else? Like a chaste, unchaste woman. So like that he chastised them. And that was an intermittent chastisement, intermittent blasphemy of the Lord. So not that kind of blasphemy that led them into absorption, deep absorption in Krishna. So Vena was sent to hell. So there are two ways of criticism. In the seventh canto, first chapter it comes. So someone may criticize the Lord out of love and affection. Yashodamayi would criticize Krishna. You are a monkey, you are a monkey lover, you are a thief, you are stealing butter, you are causing infamy to Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is the king of this place, Vrindavan, and the son of the king, prince, would go to the citizens' houses and then steals. What kind of bad name it is? So like that Yashodamayi chastises Krishna. And sometimes gopis also chastise Krishna. So their chastisement is out of pure love and affection. Yashodamayi was worried about Krishna. You are eating mitti. Am I not giving you food or what? Why are you eating earth? Like that Yashodamayi may sometimes chastise Krishna. So that is out of pure affection. So that criticism is on a different platform. Now there is another criticism that is called unfavorable criticism. The first one is favorable criticism done by Vrajavasis upon Krishna. And unfavorable criticism is by the demoniac people. So unfavorable criticism is also of two categories. First category is that unfavorable criticism of Krishna that leads the criticizer into deep absorption in Krishna. Shishupala was deeply absorbed in Krishna through blasphemy. And Kamsa is absorbed deeply in Krishna by fear. So gopyat kamat bhayat kamso dveshat chidyadayo nrupaha. So like that different people, sambandat vrishnayo. Like that even with negative emotions one can get absorbed in Krishna. That absorption will lead to their liberation. But if there is only unfavorable criticism without that absorption in Krishna, one will go to hell. Right? Blaspheming Krishna, although it may give liberation if it goes into absorption, that is never recommended in our bhakti scriptures. Yes, Shishupal attained liberation. Okay, why can't we follow Shishupal? I will also attain liberation by blasphemy. Blasphemy is much easier than me. Criticizing is much easier than me than glorifying him. So better I criticize. But understand that if your criticism, your blasphemy or your envy or anger towards Krishna falls below the standard of Kamsa and Shishupal, you will end up in hell. You have to match them. You should have that much envy towards Krishna, then only you will get liberation. That's why these negative feelings are never recommendations in the scriptures. So if you can attain Krishna by negative feelings, what to speak of positive feelings? That way. So Kamsa is an example of liberation, attaining liberation, Sarupya Mukti, by blaspheming Krishna, by being fearful of Krishna, but that's not a recommendation, prescription. Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. After consoling the royal ladies, Krishna, sustainer of all the worlds, arranged for the prescribed funeral rites to be performed. Then Krishna and Balaram released their mother and father from bondage and offered obeisances to them, touching their feet with their heads. So Devaki and Vasudev, not knowing Krishna and Balaram to be the lords of the universe, simply stood with joined palms. Being apprehensive, they did not embrace their sons. So as I said, Vasudev and Devaki are not always in pure vatsalya. Sometimes they are affected by this aishwarya. Whenever Krishna displays some opulence and majesty, so Vasudev and Devaki would go into reverence mode. So at the end of 10th canto, there is this episode where Krishna, Balaram and all the Dwarakavasis, they go to Kurukshetra to perform some rituals. At that time, so many sages assembled there and then they glorified Krishna. And hearing all the glories of Krishna, Vasudev got affected, Devaki got affected. They came back to Dwarka and started praising Krishna left, right, center. They were offering prayers to Krishna. Then Krishna became a little embarrassed. Why they, suddenly they are praising me? They are supposed to be my parents. So whenever they hear glorification of Krishna, or when Krishna performs great deeds, they get overwhelmed by Aishwarya feelings. So Krishna consoled these ladies, even though he did the right thing. So killing Kamsa was right. Yet, although you do the right thing, some people are affected by it. So Krishna consoled the ladies. Krishna is not obliged to console the ladies. The wives of Kamsa who were crying, then he need not console. So when one is doing some activities, inevitable activities as a part of his service also to Krishna, still one should have the sensitivity towards the affected party. Krishna is displaying that sensitivity, and Akrura could not display that sensitivity towards the gopis. Gopis criticized Akrura. Without even consoling us, he is taking Krishna away. That consoling is important. So you may do your duty. There is nothing wrong in duty. You are obliged to do your duty, and your duty is perfectly right, 100% right. But in the course of your doing duty, if someone is displeased, someone is affected, someone is hurt, and if you notice it especially, you have the responsibility to go and console him and beg forgiveness. I'm sorry, I'm helpless. That's why I'm supposed to do this. Like that. If he's arrived, I'm going to do my work, what's problem? If he's affected, then what can I do? That's his problem, not my problem. So that insensitivity, if one displays, then he's entitled for reaction. So in the previous birth of Kamsa, he was Kalanemi. Kalanemi, if you remember the 8th canto during the Samudra Manthan episode, Kalanemi fought very violently with Vishnu. Not Vishnu. You remember Samudra Manthan episode? At that time Kalanemi was there. So at one point all the demigods were losing, and then Vishnu, they took shelter of Vishnu, and Vishnu came and then killed few demons. One of them is Kalanemi. So when Kalanemi was killed by Vishnu, this Sukracharya revived him with Sanjeevani. Right? And again, Kalanemi yearned to fight with Vishnu. Sukracharya actually revived Bali Maharaj also. Then he did this Vishwajit Yajna, and in which, in that Yajna, Vaman Dev comes and then takes away all his wealth. You know all the story, right? So Sukracharya revived Kalanemi also, and Kalanemi had lot of enthu to fight with Vishnu. So I was killed by him once, now I am revived, again I want to go and fight with him. So on Mount Mandara he performed severe austerities, drinking only Durva grass juice. Durva grass juice, not lemon grass juice. Durva grass juice, and worshipping demigod Brahma. So like that he performed austerities for 100 celestial years. And only bones were left in his body, and around him there was an anthill, something similar to Hiranyakashipu. Then Brahmaji came and said, Kalanemi, you are performing austerities for 1000 years, celestial 100 years, so ask a benediction, what do you want? Then Kalanemi said, may my death not come from the hands of any or all of the very powerful demigods who have Vishnu as their root. Then Brahma said, O demon, the benediction you requested is difficult to attain. Still, my words will not go wrong, so you can go. You will get this benediction. So, in Ugrasena's wife, a demon named Durmila impregnated this Kalanemi. You know that story. So, Durmila was attracted to the beauty of wife of Ugrasena. Then he changed his form as Ugrasena. And Ugrasena's wife very innocently said, oh, my husband has come, and then she united, and then later she came to know that it was Durmila. So Durmila said, we are all demons and we can change our forms and then enjoy with anyone. It's bona fide for us, right? It's your mistake to be so beautiful and to display your beauty like this. So I was attracted and then I did it. And out of shame, she could not speak this out to anyone. So Kamsa was born as son of Ugrasena and was brought up as son of Ugrasena, but he was not the son of Ugrasena, he was the son of this Drumila. And in his previous birth, he was Kalanim. So Ugrasena's wife finally gave birth to Kamsa. And wishing to conquer all directions, Jarasandha, the king of Magadha, set a royal camp at different places on the shore of Yamuna. Then the elephant Kavalyapeda, who was strong as thousands of elephants, became angry, broke the chains and ran from the royal camp. At the time Kamsa was there, and Kamsa threw this Kavalyapeda 80 miles away, and then Jarasandha gave his daughters to Kamsa. You know that story, right? So when all the wrestlers, it ran from the royal camp to the mountains and entered an arena where Kamsa was fighting. When the wrestlers fled and the elephant approached him, Kamsa grabbed its trunk and threw it to the ground. So, pleased by the strength of this Kamsa, Ugrasena gave him the thing. And Shala, Toshala, Kota, already I discussed. They are the sons of Vithata. Utatya. They were Brahmanas. They were abandoning their recitation and their Vedic mantra chanting, and they were observing some wrestling match going on in Balimara's kingdom. So wrestler's background we discussed, Kamsa's background we discussed, and who else? Kavalyapeda also we discussed. He was Mandagati. He was the son of Balimaraj. He went to Sri Rangam temple and that we discussed. And the brothers of Kamsa, eight brothers of Kamsa, so they also attained liberation. So in the ancient times there was a yaksha named Deva Yaksha, who lived in Alakapuri. He was very wise, learned and glorious and sincerely devoted to Lord Shiva. He had eight sons who were named Devakota, Mahagiri, Ganda, Danda, Prachanda, Khanda, Akhanda and Prithu. These are the eight names of this yaksha, sons of this yaksha. So one time this Deva Yaksha sent them to pick 1,000 lotus flowers for Shiva Puja, to worship Lord Shiva. So from Manasarovara they took so many flowers with humming bees around. After greedily smelling them, they gave them to their father. They already saw such a fragrant flower. Father, you can use it for worshipping Shiva. Then father became offended. Father became very angry. The worship of Shiva has become ruined by these offerings of already smelled flowers. The foolish sons became demons for three births because of that. So these eight people are the brothers of Kamsa. So this is the background of Kamsa's brothers. That's why one needs to be extremely careful while offering anything to the Lord, whether it is flowers or food. One should not eye on those offerings with a lustful attitude or enjoying attitude. Oh, this sweet rice is being offered to Krishna. Then that's an offensive thought. That offering is considered contaminated. So Madhavendra Puri, although he wanted to taste the sweet rice, only to offer it, only to make it again and offer it to Gopalji in Vrindavan, still he considered that thought contaminated and then he left Ramana. But Gopinathji stole that sweet rice and then made him to eat it. So this is the background. So what is the time now? 11. We have 1 hour. So should I start the next chapter or next to next chapter? How books you bring it? Sorry? Is there? How will I do backup? Try, pray for it, pray for that consciousness. It doesn't take anything. Okay, after backup we should not take prasad. That's how you can be detached before backup.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. Sometimes the Aarti Pujari would come down, hey, mere liye rakho, and then he will go up. Okay, someone was saying that. All the demons? Yeah, we have that list. What about Kamsa you are saying? Yeah, I don't have that list. I don't remember also. You can see. Kamsa kya hai kya? I don't know. So Krishna would now console his parents, and then he'll bring them back to Vatsalya mode. So after that, at one point, Krishna was remembering Vrindavan. We will read 46. Only for today we are just jumping like this. I only jump over Rasapanchadde. Not this. And Thursday we will take the 45th chapter also. 46 we will take first half now. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Vrishninam Pravaro Mantri. Krishnasya Daitas Sakha. Sishyo Bruhaspateh Sakshad. Uddhava Buddhisattamah.
Shukdev Goswami said, the supremely intelligent Uddhava was the best counselor of the Vrishni dynasty, a beloved friend of Lord Sri Krishna, and a direct disciple of Brihaspati.
So now Uddhava is being introduced. Uddhava is the one who desired to become even a bush or a creeper or a leaf or grass in Vrindavan, so that he can get the dust from the lotus feet of all the Vraja Gopis. Now, he is the cousin brother of Krishna, and he is being introduced in Bhagavatam now, 46th verse. And we already learned some activities of Uddhava in the third canto, first to fourth chapters. So, the acharyas give various reasons why Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. First paragraph is about Krishna's promise. So, Krishna promised the Vrajavasis in 10.39 that I shall return. Then also in the previous chapter, Lord had promised Nanda Maharaj that I will come back to see you and Mother Yashoda. At the same time, the Lord could not break his promise to Vasudeva and Devaki to finally spend some time with them after they had suffered so many years. Therefore, Lord had sent a representative. So, representative of Krishna is Uddhava, and then he went to Vrindavan so that the Vrindavan vasis may be little pacified in the absence of Krishna. So, to fulfill his own promise, he had sent. Next, the question may be asked, why did Krishna not invite Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda to visit him in Mathura? This is a very important question. So, he has created an awkward situation. You know, you see, he was exchanging with them, according to Jiva Goswami, for the Lord to have exchanged loving feelings with Nanda and Yashoda in the same place, and at the same time he was exchanging with them Vasudeva and Devaki, it would have been an awkward situation. Because the Vrindavan is of a totally different ambience, different mode. Suddenly you can't keep changing gears. So with Vasudeva and Devaki he had certain kind of flavor, and suddenly with Nanda and Yashoda he has to display some other flavor. So the residents of Vrindavan had their own way of understanding Krishna, and their feelings could not have been appropriately expressed on a regular basis in the kingly atmosphere of Mathura. That's why when this Vrajavasis went to Kurukshetra, Srimati Radharani could not see Krishna in this royal attire of being a very opulent prince surrounded by so many soldiers, so many military men, and dressed like a prince. So it was odd. Radharani could not handle that. So entire Rathayatra chapter, the 13th chapter of Madhyalila, of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is filled with the feelings displayed by Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So Jagannath Puri was considered Dwaraka. Lord Jagannath is Krishna himself, who went to Dwaraka or who went to Mathura. Then Gundicha is representing Vrindavan, and Mahaprabhu is personally Srimati Radharani. He is Krishna in the feelings of Srimati Radharani. So Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya is trying to pull Jagannath towards Gundicha, towards Vrindavan. So that's what Ratha Yatra represents. So Mahaprabhu very piteously, or in the mood of Srimati Radharani, very piteously appealed to Krishna, "Do you remember Vrindavan?" He says that, "Dekhi Vrajeshwari Mukha." Forget about my unhappiness. Do you remember your Vrajeshwari, Yashodamai? Do you remember your father? Do you remember your mother? Do you remember all your boyfriends? Do you remember all your girlfriends? So why are you so indifferent? Yeah, although I am seeing you now, still I cannot actually appreciate you in this form. Although I am the same Srimati Radharani, although you are the same Krishna, but this is not the same place, Vrindavan. So we are in a totally alien place where our natural feelings towards each other cannot be supported and favored. So we need that same ambience also. So my heart is desiring to pull you to Vrindavan. So to reassure, so when Mahaprabhu is expressing this kind of feelings in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Krishna could not move. Krishna was also very much perturbed by these feelings. So that's why Jagannath Ratha stops sometimes. When Mahaprabhu is dancing in front of the Ratha, so Jagannath does not move. He would just stop there and then glance at the Ratha. Then sometimes Ratha starts moving also, little slowly. Then at that time, when Ratha is moving slowly, Jagannath is kind of acknowledging Radharani's feelings and reminding Srimati Radharani that, "Yes, I still remember Vrindavan. I can never forget you. Only to fulfill certain responsibilities and duties that are there on my part. I just killed Kamsa. I also want to kill few more demons and I want to reduce the burden of earth. So I must stay here for some time. After some time, I promise you that I will come to Vrindavan and I will never return from Vrindavan." So like that, Jagannath says. So these were the exchanges happening in Rath Yatra between Mahaprabhu and Jagannath. So to pacify, so for all these reasons, Krishna could not go to Vrindavan immediately, although he promised that I will come. So just to pacify all the Vrajavasis, Srimati Radharani and all the other gopis and Nanda Maharaj, Yashodamai and other friends of Vrindavan, friends of Krishna, Krishna sends Uddhava. So Uddhava is sent as a representative of Krishna to Vrindavan to pacify all these people. So although it was possible and easy for all the Vrajavasis to come to Mathura, it was hardly half an hour, 1 hour journey, still they never came and Krishna never called them because the ambience is totally different. Now I also, just my simple an understanding, I gave classes at different venues, but I have my favorite venue, favorite audience. So in that, I will not tell you that. So in that kind of setup, the words will come up better. So in a different place, if you have to speak Krishna Katha, the actual flavor will not come out, actual mood will not come out. We are restricted. I have to be a little politically correct now. I have to play safe. I have to be extremely sensitive in presentation. The actual mood of presenting Krishna Katha, discussing it, will not come out when there is a different set of audience. Right? Same thing, you have a different relationship with each other. You can't have the same relation with another person. It boils down to such a small extent also. So I have given classes everywhere, but Vidyapeeth room, Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth classroom in amenities, that small room. So I have spoken there hundreds of hours, so that's my favorite spot, I can say. And also Sriji Mandir, recently we had taken few classes only, that has become my favorite spot, recent favorite spot. So at that, in that place, the mind becomes open up and then you like start opening out. I worked on Subodhin at various places, sometimes sitting in the terrace of Gauranitai Hall, sometimes sitting in temple hall, sometimes sitting in my room at different places. But at some places, things will just flow. Right? I work with so many people. So with some people, the chemistry matches and then working with them is like more pleasurable. Right? So if this happens, then you can relate to the experience of Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya and Srimati Radharani. So there's nothing wrong when Vrajavasis are pulling Krishna to Vrindavan. Kya problem? Same Krishna, na? Can't you have exchange? Love has to be unconditional love. Is it not? No. In unconditional love also, star conditions apply. Vrindavan. Because that unconditional love can manifest it to its fullest extent in certain ambience also. So that's why Vrindavan has a very special flavor. So, Vrajavasis are never called to Mathura to have exchanges with Krishna. So, family is there. Krishna has two sets of parents, Nanda and Yashoda and Vasudeva and Devaki. Why can't all of them stay together? Vasudeva and Devaki, it's not that they have some issues. Sometimes two groups of people cannot stay together if they have issues. Nanda, Yashoda and Vasudeva and Devaki, they have no issues between each other. If all of them had to stay under one roof, they can stay under one roof without any disputes between each other. But still they could not stay together. Why? Because there is a different issue here. That's the rasa, the ambience also is needed. Someone who is so much accustomed to the simplicity and innocence of Vrindavan cannot find themselves comfortable in the opulence and majesty of Dwaraka. The rasa will not match. So I will stay there only. So Krishna also did not want to disturb those feelings. I also cannot get into that mood of simplicity. So they are all royal thrones. They will sit on the banks of Yamuna, sit on some stones and then eat there with the cowherd boys. Sometimes they make stones as their plates. Sometimes they make patal, some leaves of some trees as their plates. Their dining hall is just the banks of Yamuna. They will sit on the soft sand and that is their dining hall under the roof. And when it rains, they go inside the caves of Govardhan and then they hide there. But in Mathura and Dwaraka, there are very elaborate arrangements. So this will not match. It becomes really total mismatch. That's why Krishna never wanted to go to Vrindavan. Now he is sending his representative Uddhava to Vrindavan. You pacify all the Vrajavasis. So Uddhava is described here as Buddhi Sammataha, Buddhi Sattamaha. So he has highest quality of intelligence. He is the most intelligent and thus he could expertly pacify the residents of Vrindavan. So this intelligence is not just the analytical intelligence. This intelligence also requires an understanding and of the finer emotions of the Vrajavasis and getting related to them and pacifying them in that tone. Uddhava would describe to all the members of Rishni dynasty the extraordinary pure love he had seen in Vrindavan. So Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan is another attempt of Krishna to glorify the Vrajavasis. Uddhava goes and directly witnesses the pure unalloyed love of all the Vrajavasis towards Krishna, whether it be the gopis or gopas or the parents or cows. He would just directly witness all their affection and then he would come back and reveal those glories of Vrindavan. So Uddhava's visit is a testimony for the love and affection of Vrajavasis. So Uddhava would describe all the members of the Vrishni dynasty, the extraordinary pure love he had seen in Vrindavan. Indeed, the love the cowherd men and gopis felt for Krishna was far beyond anything the Lord's other devotees had ever experienced. And by hearing about that love, all the Lord's devotees would increase their faith and devotion. Okay. So, even to appreciate the exaltedness of a devotee, the person who is appreciating should have some level of devotion. So, when Uddhava entered into a deep contemplation, when Vidura asked him a question, Vidura could immediately recognize. Sakatham sevayatasya kalena jarasangataha prishto vartam pratibhruyat bhartuhu padavanusmaran. You remember, where is this verse? Third canto, first chapter. Uddhava asked several questions. Vidura asked so many questions to Uddhava about the welfare of the family members. Then Uddhava immediately went into the remembrance of Krishna, and for one muhurta, he did not speak only. You ask a question, 48 minutes other person will just... He is in his own world. 48 minutes, not 48 seconds. Eh? Even 48 seconds you become restless. The answer nahi de rahe, kya ho gaya usko? So like that one may think. 48 minutes Vidura was patiently waiting till Uddhava comes out of that remembrance of Krishna. Comes into this material, external plane. External consciousness. So Vidura could understand that Uddhava is not an ordinary person. I asked one question about Krishna and he is going into such remembrance. That means he is in love with Krishna. So one also should have some devotional strength to acknowledge the devotion of another person. Some people are so humble, and another person may describe, "Hey, the space doubt at me. Yaar. Hamesha sentimentally bolte rahte. Kya? I can't deal with him." So one may say like that. But to appreciate his humility, you should have some humility. Right? Unless one has certain quality, he cannot appreciate the same quality that is displayed in a greater magnitude by another person. So Krishna could have sent anyone, but why he chose Uddhava? So Uddhava has the devotional advancement and spiritual strength to be able to appreciate the glory of Rajavasis. Others could not have done such a great job. Uddhava can appreciate the glories of Rajavasis, Uddhava can glorify. And even after coming back, Uddhava himself says, "I cannot understand their love. That is so exalted." He is the chosen one by Krishna. So that means how exalted is Uddhava? How exalted are the Vrajavasis? How exalted is their prema towards Krishna? So second verse. Tamaha Bhagavan Preshtam Bhaktam Ekantitam Kvachit Grihitva Panina Panim Prapannarti Haro Harihi.
The Supreme Lord Hari, who relieves the distress of all who surrender to him, once took the hand of his fully devoted, dearmost friend Uddhava and addressed him as follows.
So, Prapannarti Haro Harihi. Here Hari is described as Prapanna Artihara. He would completely vanquish the distress of one who surrenders unto him. So, he told Uddhava, Gachodhava Vrajam Saumya Pitrornau Pritimavaha Gopinam Mad Viyogadhim Mat Sandeshair Vimochaya.
Lord Krishna said, "Dear gentle Uddhava, go to Vraj and give pleasure to our parents and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message."
Gaccha Uddhava Vrajam Saumya. Oh gentle Uddhava, go to Vrindavan, go to Vraj. Pitror noho pitramavaha. You go and meet our parents and give them pleasure. Gopina mad viyogadhim. You go and meet the gopis and explain them that I am also suffering in their separation. They are saying that I am indifferent and I will develop a relation with other women in Mathura and I will not look at them. But actually I am also feeling the equal amount of separation from them. They should be communicated. But I am tolerating all that so that I can fulfill the duties here. Whatever duties I have in Mathura, killing Jarasandha and other people, reducing the burden of earth. So Krishna is so much into ecstasy, man. So much into the exchange of such loving emotions and feelings towards all his eternal associates. So the conditioned souls are only disturbing Krishna by demanding his attention in the midst of all that ecstasy. Still Krishna is kind enough to spare his time and deliver these conditioned souls by reducing the burden of earth, by establishing dharma there. Understand this, no? So Krishna is in his own world of exchanging love with all the Vrajavasis. And Mahaprabhu was also exchanging all wonderful feelings with all the Navadvipvasis. Why he has to take sannyas? To deliver all of us. So conditioned souls are only distracting Krishna from his eternal enjoyment and exchanges between his with his eternal residents, eternal companions. But out of his unconditional love, he would come and then show his kindness towards us. To do dharma samsthapana, paritranaya sadhanam, all these are external reasons for his descent. So he was given a sandesh, a message. Uddhava was given a sandesh. Taman manaska mat prana madarthe tyakta daihikaha mamevadayitam preshtam atmanam manasagataha yetyakta loka dharmascham madarthe tan vibharmyaham.
The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me, and their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, renouncing ordinary happiness in this life, as well as religious duties necessary for such happiness in the next life. I alone am their dearmost beloved, and indeed, their very self. I personally sustain such devotees who for my sake give up all worldly duties.
So Krishna is acknowledging the devotion of the gopis and other Vrajavasis. What is that verse? Pati sutanvayat bhratru bandhavat ati vilanghyate achyutagataha gati virastavo udgita mohitaha kitavayoshitaha kastyajennishi. So they have, all the gopis have given up their pati, suta, bhratru, bandhava, all their relations, and middle of the night they came to Krishna. So Krishna says some moral codes, gives them some noble principles, and then says, you should go back, you cannot come like this. Then ketava yoshitaha kastya dennishi, we have given up everything and came to you. How hard-hearted are you? You are asking us to go back. We will not go back, we will be here only. Like that the gopis said in the beginning of the Rasalila. So Krishna is acknowledging their gopis. Although gopis apparently did not follow the instruction of Krishna, the gopis impressed Krishna. So gopis impressed Krishna by their disobedience to his instruction. Because someone who is so closely connected with you by the heart can hear your yes behind your no, can hear your no behind your yes. Although Krishna says, no, you can't be here, gopis understood that Krishna wants us here. Although Arjuna was hearing Krishna's very forceful appeal to kill Ashwatthama, Arjuna also heard, Krishna does not want me to kill Ashwatthama. Krishna was only testing me. So he did not kill. noble and obedient and confidential servant of a master knows the heart of the master, and he hears the heart of the master than the words of the master. So, ta man manaska mat prana. So the gopis were absorbed in me. Manaska, their minds are absorbed in me. Mat prana, their lives were fixed upon me. Tyakta daihikaha, they have given up all, they have abandoned all their bodily relations for my sake. Mameva dayitam preshtam atmanam manasagataha, their minds and their entire self is always diverted towards me only.
ಮದ್ಗುಣ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ಮೈಗ ಸರ್ವ ಗುಹಾಸಯೇ ಮನೋಗತಿ ರವಿಚ್ಛಿನ್ನ ಯಥಾ ಗಂಗಾಂಭ ಸೋಂಬುದೌ. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್ ಸೌಂಡ್, ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ಲೆಸ್ಲಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರನ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸೋರ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಗಂಗಾ ಫ್ಲೋಸ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಓಷನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಪೈಟ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಆಬ್ಸ್ಟಕಲ್ಸ್. So, ye tyakta loka dharmascha, they have even given up the loka dharma, the regulative principles observed in this mortal world, the social customs they have given up. Madarthe tan vibharmyaham, for my sake. So, tan vibharmyaham, I will sustain them. So, Krishna says, such people must be maintained by me and sustained by me under all circumstances. Now they are in a great state of deep separation and lamentation because of my absence. So to sustain them, I am sending you, my dear Uddhava. How confidential servant Uddhava is to Krishna. To pacify his most dear associates, Vrajavasis, Krishna is sending Uddhava there. So Uddhava is so exalted. So Uddhava went. So since Krishna maintains ordinary devotees engaged in sadhana bhakti, so he will certainly maintain gopis who are the topmost devotees, exalted devotees. Even sadhakas are also maintained by Krishna. What to speak of the gopis who are not sadhakas, who are most elevated in their devotion to Krishna. Maitah preyasam preshthe durasthe gokulastriyah smarantyonga vimohyanti ವಿರಹೌತ್ಕಂಠ್ಯ ವಿಹ್ವಲಾಃ ಮೈತಾಃ ಪ್ರೇಯಸಾಂ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠೇ. ಸೋ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಉದ್ಧವ, ಫಾರ್ ದೀಸ್ ವುಮೆನ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೋಕುಲ, ಮೈತಾಃ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ದಿ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಚೆರಿಶ್ಡ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್, ಆಫ್ ಲವ್. ಪ್ರೇಯಸಾಂ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠೇ, ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆರ್ ವರ್ತ್ ಎಂಡಿಯರಿಂಗ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ದಿ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಡಿಯರ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ದಿ ಡಿಯರ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಗೋಪೀಸ್. ದೂರಸ್ಥೇ ಗೋಕುಲ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಯಃ, ಆಲ್ ದೋ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅವೇ ನೌ, ಲೈಕ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಕ್ವೈಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದೆಮ್ ನೌ, ಸೊ ಯು ಶುಡ್ ಗೋ ದೇರ್. ಗೋಕುಲ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಯಃ ಸ್ಮರಂತ್ಯೋ ಅಂಗ ವಿಮುಹಿಯಂತಿ ವಿರಹೋತ್ಕಂಠ್ಯ ವಿಹ್ವಲಾಃ. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸ್ಟೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅವೇ, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಓವರ್ವೆಲ್ಮ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಸಪರೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ, ಸೊ ಯು ಶುಡ್ ಗೋ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾಸಿಫೈ ದೆಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಟು ದೆಮ್, because they were in the anxiety of separation from us. So whatever is dear to us becomes an object of our possessiveness. One becomes possessive about that object. This object has to be with me only because I love this. So when you love something, you can't just give it up. Somebody who is very much attached to, say, one's laptop. So even if he gives that laptop to someone else to hold for sometime, I'm going somewhere, just keep it here. But he is constantly thinking about it. So like that he may think. So there is a possessiveness, there is an attachment, there is a constant remembrance of that object. So now the ultimately the most dear object is our own very soul, our own self. And this, the self, the soul, is a part and parcel of Krishna. He is Atmanam Akhilatmanam. He is the soul of our soul, all souls. So everyone's dearmost object is Krishna. So that realization one needs to acquire, either today or tomorrow or after 10 years or 10 lifetimes or next life of Brahma, next birth of Brahma, whatever it may be. One has to realize that my dearmost object is Krishna. I love Krishna the most and Krishna loves me the most. No one else in the entire cosmic manifestation loves me as much as Krishna does. So Krishna loves us the most, no one else. And we love Krishna the most, no one else. So that is the eternal loving bondage between the soul and the super soul. And Rasa Leela is a manifestation of that pure eternal love between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So amongst the countless millions of such dear things, Krishna is the most dear of all. Even dearer than one's own self. The gopis had realized this fact. So one who realizes this fact is called gopi.
or is called an eternal companion of Krishna. And thus they were stunned in separation from the Lord because of their intense love for him. Although they would have given up their lives, they were kept alive by the Lord's transcendental potency. They were sustaining their lives. To live when your beloved object is not with you is like living without life. The life is going on, or what is that called? Ayu is going on, but there is no potency, something like that, they say, right? Ayurveda language. So only the tenure is going on. So there is no substance in that tenure. For example, somebody is studying in a B.Tech college, for example. 4 years is his tenure. He is not performing properly. He is getting all F grades in all his exams. He is failing. So 4 years of his tenure in the B.Tech college is just going on. But there is no substance in that living there. He is not adding value to his career. He is not getting any degree. Just he is doing this passing time there. He is not acquiring any knowledge of all the subjects there. Some crude example. So like that, to live without the beloved object, without one's life and soul next to that person, is like living dead only. But still, the gopis would have died, but still they were kept alive by the potency of the Lord.
Dharayantyati krichrena prayah pranam kathanchana pratyagamana sandeshair ballavyome madatmikah.
Simply because I have promised to return to them, my fully devoted cowherd girlfriends struggle to maintain their lives somehow or other.
Pratigna tava govinda name bhakta pranasyati iti samsmritya pranan sandharayatam yaham. Many times we may chant Aparasodhana mantras after our deity worship. Often times it's mechanical, and then in a haste we want to go back to our regular duties, and Aparad will go on, but Aparad Shodhana Mantra may not go on very attentively. I speak at least my case. So, but the devotee's source of sustenance is the promise of Krishna, not one's own devotion. So although I have so many aparadas, I am filled with so many aparadas, you have promised that your devotee will never perish. Pratigna tava govinda name bhakta pranasyati. I am a good devotee or a bad devotee or an advanced devotee or a neophyte devotee. Somehow I am managing to do some devotion to you. And you have taken a vow to maintain your devotees, to protect your devotees. It is samsmritya pranan sandharayatamyaham. Just by remembering your promise, I am living. So that is the mood of a devotee. Devotee is never... He never thinks that I am qualified for certain privilege or certain treatment by Krishna, but he took a vow to protect people like me, so that vow will protect me, not my own qualification will protect me. That way. So all these gopis were prayaha pranan kathanchana, somehow or the other they are maintaining their lives because I promised. Based on my promise. What was my promise? I said I will come back. Because I promised that I will return, hoping that I will return one day, they are maintaining their lives. Otherwise, technically, they cannot maintain their lives in my absence. So, promise. Krishna's promise. So, Krishna's promise is our strength. So, not our qualification. Krishna's mercy is our strength. Krishna has taken a vow, I will protect my devotees. That is our strength. So Krishna's spiritual potency, the gopis, existed entirely for his pleasure, and Krishna loved them in the mood of paramour. In fact, the gopis were manifestations of Krishna's internal nature, his supreme pleasure potency, and on the spiritual platform they attracted the Lord by their pure love. So his supreme pleasure potency. So now this cannot be equated with a boy's or a girl's just maintaining one's existence, remembering their beloved girlfriend or whatever, as so many movies or serials may depict. So that's only temporary. Only in front of the camera they may exhibit such feelings. In the real life, no one will have that kind of love. They keep changing partners or they may do something else. But here, the gopis are having fixed, one-pointed attention and without any diversion towards Krishna and their love for Krishna. And what are they looking in Krishna? An opportunity to please Him. They're existing because Krishna promised that He will return back to accept their service, to accept their love, not to get benefited by Him or not to get enjoyment through His association. We want to please Krishna and we are looking forward to please Krishna, and when will He come back and accept our love? And gopis are also thinking that Krishna loves us the most. They understand that. Krishna loves the association of gopis, and if He is away from us, who will take care of them? Who will take care of Krishna? He will miss our love, and because of that He may suffer. So because He will suffer in our absence, so we want Him to come here and then take our association, so that we can give Him pleasure and He need not suffer anymore. So they have completely given up themselves. They have given themselves to Krishna to please Him and to satisfy Him. In our absence, Krishna also suffers. We don't want Him to suffer. Let Him come back and then take our association or take our service. Like that. We only know how to serve Him. And all the people in Mathura or Dwaraka, they may not exactly know what Krishna wants. That way, sometimes mother also may think. This example is easy. Mother may sometimes be worried about the child. And she thinks that I know what he exactly wants. The nurse that I have appointed to take care of my child does not exactly know what the child wants. So I know exactly. I know how much quantity of milk he would drink. I know when he would sleep. I know the sequence in which he eats things. There is a sequence in which there is a science also. In South India, people take this sabji and dal and then sambar, and then at the end they take curd rice, and at the end they may take sweet. Like there is a sequence, a traditional sequence, like we do in any sequence. The sequence, I know the sequence in which my child eats. My child takes curd rice first and then he takes dal rice. That's a different sequence that he maintains. So like that, mother exactly knows, and the child is away from the mother, mother will feel unhappy that without me, the child may not feel happy. To give him happiness, I have to go. Not that when I take care of him and he is next to me, he will give me happiness. Definitely, my happiness, I will derive some happiness by serving my child. That's a byproduct. The main product, main theme there is my child should get happiness in my service. This example is easy to relate with, right? Same thing is the gopis. Gopis are feeling so bad in the separation of Krishna because they understand that only they can satisfy Krishna. Only they can understand what satisfies Krishna properly. So that's why they want to give that pleasure to Krishna. That's why they are desiring his association. Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. So Uddhava respectfully accepted his master's message and mounted his chariot and set off for Nanda Gokul. The fortunate Uddhava reached Nanda Maharaj's pastures just as the sun was setting. And since the returning cows and other animals were raising dust from their hooves, his chariot passed unnoticed. Unnoticed. Now, you see, the ninth verse. Ninth to 13th verse describes various attributes of Vrindavan village, how it is an ideal village, village atmosphere.
Vasitarthe bhiyuddhabhir naditam sushmibhir vrshaihi dhavanti bhischa varabhir वार्षाभिर उधो भारी ही स्वत्सकान itastato vilanghyadbhir govatsair manditam sitaihi godoha shabda bhiravam venunam nishvanenacha gayanti bhischa karmani shubhani bala krishnayoh svalankritabhir gopibhir gopaischa suvirajitam ajnarkatithi govipra pitrudeva janarnvitah dhupadipaischa malyaischa gopavasair manoramam sarvatah pushpitavanam dvijali kulanaditam hamsakarandava kirnaihi padmashandaischa manditam.
Read the translation.
Gokula resounded on all sides with the sounds of bulls in rut fighting with one another for fertile cows. With the mooing of cows burdened by their udders chasing after their calves, with the noise of milking and of the white calves jumping here and there, with the loud reverberation of flute playing, and with the singing of the all auspicious deeds of Krishna and Balram by the cowherd men and women, who made the village resplendent with their wonderfully ornamented attire. The cowherds' homes in Gokula appeared most charming with their abundant paraphernalia for worship of the sacrificial fire, the sun, unexpected guest, the cows, the brahmanas, the forefathers and the demigods. On all sides lay the flowering forest echoing with flocks of birds and swarms of bees, and beautified by its lakes crowded with swans, karandhava ducks and bowers of lotuses.
So this is the ambience of Vrindavan somewhere in the evening. So Uddhava went there.
Tamagatam samagamya krishnasya anujaram priyam nandaha pritaha parishvrajya vasudeva dhiyarchayat.
As soon as Uddhava arrived at Nanda Maharaj's home, Nanda came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as non-different from Lord Vasudev.
So Uddhava just looked like Nanda Maharaj's son, Krishna. And just by seeing him, people are just remembering Krishna. Exactly, Krishna is a dikra. So like that Krishna's remembrance came to all the Vrajavasis as soon as Uddhava went there. So the cowherd king Nanda Maharaj embraced Krishna, embraced Uddhava and worshipped him with different paraphernalia.
Bhojitam paramannena samvishtam kashipau sukham gatashramam paryapruchat padasamvahanadibhi.
After Uddhava had eaten first-class food, been seated comfortably on a bed and been relieved of his fatigue by a food massage and other means, Nanda inquired from him as follows.
So Uddhava had first eaten first-class food, been seated comfortably. So bhojitam paramannena, paramannena, parama annena. That is first-class food. And paramanna also means sweet rice. Right? Milk and sugar and rice boiled. So samvishtam kashipau sukham. So he was given a nice bed. Kashipa is bed. Hiranya kashipa. So kashipa is bed. So Jiva Goswami says that Nanda Maharaj had a servant massage Uddhava's feet, since Uddhava was Nanda Maharaj's nephew. Okay.
Kachit anga mahabhagam sakhanaha suranandana aste kushalya patyadair yukto muktaha suhrudvartaha.
Oh dear most fortunate one, does the son of Sura fare well? Now that he is free and has rejoined his children and other relatives. So now there was some exchanging of pleasantries. Fortunately, because of his own sins, the sinful Kamsa had been killed. Although with all his brothers, along with all his brothers, he always hated the saintly and righteous Yadavas, Yadus. So does Krishna remember us? Apismaratina Krishna Mataram Suhrudas Sakhin Gopan Vrajam Chatmanatham Gava Vrindavanam Girim Apismaratina Krishna. So these are the questions of the Vrajavasis. So does Krishna remember us? Mataram Suhrudah Sakhin, all his well-wishers and then his mother and his dear friends and Gopan, cowherds, Vrajam Gokula and Cha Atmanatham Gavo Vrindavanam Girim and his cows and Vrindavana and Govardhana. So does he remember all this paraphernalia at Vrindavan? So same thing. Srimati Radharani, or in the form of Lord Chaitanya, also asks Jagannath when she was pulling the ratha to Gundicha. Do you remember all this? This 18th verse is very much corresponding to one of the verses spoken by Lord Chaitanya in Madhya Lila 13th chapter. Vrindavana Govardhana Pulina. So like that one verse comes in the different 4-line Bengali meter. Apyaya Apyayasyati Govindah Svajanan Sakrudikshitum Tarhidrakshyama Tadvaktram Sunasam Susmitekshanam. Will Govinda return even once to see his family? Apyasyayati Govindah. If he ever does, we may then glance upon his beautiful face with his beautiful eyes, nose and smile. Tarhi drakshyama tad vaktram sunasam susmita ikshanam. So we will be able to see his beautiful face, vaktram sunasam, beautiful nose, susmita, beautiful smile, and ikshanam, eyes. So now that Krishna had become a prince in a great city of Mathura, sometimes they speak even sarcastically. So here he is a prince of cowherd village. There he is a prince of great city, Mathura. Will he come back? So, but he hoped, against hope, that Krishna would come back at least once to visit the simple cowherd folk who had raised him from birth. So we have, although he is the son of Vasudeva, that's what is the opinion or the prevalent talk in the entire Mathura now. Still, 10 years he stayed here. So we have given him all affection. So does he remember us? So while giving him affection, we have become so bound up through the rope of love towards his beautiful smiling face. Will he ever come back to see us? That is their very piteous appeal to Uddhava. Davagner vata varshacha vrishas sarpacha rakshitah duratyayebhyo mrityubhya krishnena sumahatmana. So that Krishna, who is sumahatmana, very great soul, so he has protected us from this davagni, forest fire. Davagner vata varshacha, he also has protected us from this wind. Vata, Varsha. Varsha is rain. And Vrsha. Vrsha means this bull, Arishtasur. So serpent, Sarpat means Kaliya serpent. So like that, from various calamities, he protected the Vrajavasis in Vrindavan. So does he remember us now? That great soul, will he come back? Smaratam Krishna Viryani Leelapanga Nirikshatam Hasitam Bhashitam Changa Sarvanaha Sithilaha Kriyaha Smaratam Krishna Viryani. So they are remembering all these wonderful deeds that Krishna has performed. Leela Apanga Nirikshatam. Leela means playful. Apanga is glances, sidelong glances. Leela apanga nirikshatam. He's looking like that. So he smiles, hasitam, bhashitam, his words. Cha anga sarva naha sithilaha kriyaha. All of them have slackened our kriyaha, our activities. So we are unable to perform our activities with the same meticulousness and same interest and same concentration because we are constantly being overwhelmed with the thoughts of Krishna. So sa apanga, so we are always remembering his smiles and then his bhashitam, his words and his sidelong glances and his activities. And we are unable to do our activities. Something similar to what that? Yadohane vahanane mathanopalepa prinkhankanarbharuditekshana marjanado. Same thing happens in the 10th canto, 8th chapter. The crawling pastimes of Krishna. So there, Yashodamai and Rohini Mata, they are unable to do their household activities. Because they are constantly distracted by Krishna's activities and Balram's activities. Sometimes they will go and catch the tail of a cow. Sometimes they would go and take knives. Sometimes they will count the teeth of monkeys. Sometimes they will do something else. They are attracted by fire. They want to touch fire. So they may harm themselves. They are small infant babies. So all the mothers of Vrindavan, especially Rohini and Yashoda, they were constantly in anxiety for the protection of Krishna. They were unable to focus on their household duties. Same thing with all the gopis. Similar. That is when Krishna is in Vrindavan, either in the forest or playing somewhere. So what to speak of the situation where Krishna is out of Vrindavan? How much they were overwhelmed with remembrance. The entire life and whatever they are doing is appearing blank to them. So we are unable to move ahead in our household duties. We are constantly forgetting how to do our material engagements. How to churn, we will forget. How to herd cows, we will forget. The cow will go somewhere else and then it's spaced out and then we are also spaced out. We are unable to look at it. So like that, they were distracted.
Sarichaila vanodeshan Mukunda padabhushitan akridan ikshamananam manoyati tadatmatam.
When we see the places where Mukunda enjoyed his sporting pastimes, where all he enjoyed, Sarit, the rivers, Shaila, the hills, Vana, forests, Uddeshan, and various other parts, Mukunda Pada Bhushitan, all these places were ornamented, Bhushitan, by Mukunda Pada. Krishna's lotus footprints have ornamented all these hills and forests and other places in Vrindavan. So, Akridan Ishyamananam Manaha Yati Tadatmatam. So, he says that when we see the places where Mukunda enjoyed his sporting pastimes, our minds become totally absorbed in him. Sometimes some close relative passes away and you see some object that is used by that close relative and then you remember how use karta tha. Sometimes somebody goes out of the ashram. Sometimes somebody moves to a different temple. So those remembrances are there through the activities that they have done here. Oh, he is the one who has done this service. Because of him, all these things were erected. So you just remember him. You just acknowledge him mentally within. So these are the intimate emotional turmoil that all the Vrajavasis are undergoing in the absence of Krishna. Wherever this is, they are seeing Krishna. Because where is that place which Krishna has not visited? Where is that vana which Krishna's lotus, in which Krishna's lotus prints have not been imprinted? Which is the house where Krishna did not go and steal butter? Which is that gopi Krishna has not seen? So every single Vrajavasi, every cow and calf and other birds and animals or trees or gopis or gopas, men, women, everybody, children, old men, everybody remembers Krishna. Because Krishna has touched everyone during his just one decade of pastimes in Vrindavan. So all the rivers and hills and forests are filled with the remembrances of Krishna. We are unable to survive in his absence. We are constantly remembering him.
Manye Krishnam cha Ramam cha praptav iha surottamau suranam mahadarthaya gargasya vachanam yatha.
In my opinion, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill the same, some great mission of the demigods. Gargamuni also said this. Kamsam, okay, after all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who was as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as wrestlers Chanura and Mushtika and elephant Kavalayapida. They killed them all sportingly, as easily as a lion disposes small animals. So they understand that, oh, they must be some exalted demigods or something like that. But their feelings towards them will not change. Oh, he is a demigod, Baba. Not like that. Whoever he may be, we are not bothered about his identity. He may be Supreme Lord, he may be the master of entire cosmic manifestation, but we love him. He is our son. He is our friend. He is our lover. So like that.
Talatrayam mahasaram dhanuryashtim ive bharat babhanjai kena hastena saptaham adadhat girim.
So with the ease of royal elephant breaking a stick, Krishna broke a powerful giant bow, three talas long. He broke that seva dhanu, right? And he also held palm tree. According to Acharya Vishwanatha, tala is a measurement of the six hastas, 60 hastas. So thus the great bow Krishna broke is like 270 feet long. 270 feet long. So then he also lifted Govardhan for 7 days.
Then pralambo dhenu ko rishtaham. Trinavarto bhagadayah daityah surasura jito hata yene halilayam.
Here in Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram easily killed Pralamba, Dhenuka, Arishta, Trinavarta, Baka and so many other people, and they defeated demigods also and other demons also. So like that, Nanda Maharaj was profusely pouring out his feelings of separation from Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. We'll continue day after tomorrow. 26 verses. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.